This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show, and hopefully you had a chance to tune in last hour. We had a very good debate with our friend Beavis Shock over a Prop B in St. Louis County. If you don't know what that is, I do have my voter guide out now. It kind of explains what Proposition B is and where I stand on it. I am a yes on Prop B, but you can hit the rewind button or go to the audio on demand at 971talk.com or on the Odyssey app or wherever you pick up your podcasts, and you can hear our interview with Beavis Shock, the attorney, just a little earlier this morning. Coming up, we're going to get to Jesse Jane Duff and Tom Ackerman, because it was a huge sports weekend. The Blues, the Cardinals, both on a bit of a streak right now. And, of course, there was a few basketball games played, as I remember, Kim. I'm sure. Did you watch any of that?
I don't think I caught any this weekend, but I caught part of the Kentucky-Tennessee game, and it was not pretty.
As long as you were not supporting any team dressed in orange and white this weekend, we're fine, just so you know.
Well, you know, I didn't live in Tennessee.
That guy, but I was very happy when Tennessee lost the following game, Dick, because they got one little player, the Ziegler kid, that just rubbed me the wrong way, and I'm glad to see him out of it. I just have to say
rubbed
that.
You the wrong way because he whooped your team?
No, that's not it. It's not it. There's some of this. Sometimes you just have a player for the other team that's just cocky to the point that it drives you crazy, and a picture exists of him flipping off the UK symbol at at the NCAA tournament, one of the earlier rounds.
That's trashy.
So that kind of stuck in my craw a little bit. So it didn't hurt me to see him lose before he got to the Final Four.
It is all number one seeds now in the Final Four, which is interesting that it hasn't happened for coming up on 20 years.
I want to know, I mean, to have picked all of them, like everybody tried, you have to counterpick that a little bit. You have to understand there's going to be at least a few upsets. Mm-hmm. It's rare when there's a 1-16 upset, but as you get closer and it gets narrowed down, I picked a couple of the number ones to get knocked off. I picked Duke to lose, and obviously they're still in it. I did pick Houston to win the whole thing, so it's possible I could still come out of this smelling like a rose.
I have Duke winning it. I didn't put any money on it, but I have a chance at. I would have had a chance at winning something if
I could.
You know,
now I'm a fan of Kentucky and whoever's playing Tennessee, Louisville, or Duke. So that's kind of where I am on that. But
and
that's
Mizzou.
Neither here nor there. No, I love Mizzou. Yeah. If they're not playing Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
I do. I spent a lot of money to Mizzou when my kid went to school there. I'm a fan. Trust me. They had a good season and a good foundation to build on.
And
for
flopped
sure.
at the end.
Well, they did, and many of them did for sure. All right. I mentioned coming up, we'll get to Jesse Jane Duff. The voter guide is posted at 971talk.com. It's up there. You can download it. You can print it off. You can just read it and find out where I am on some of these school board races, very important races over the next week. We're going to have more of these candidates on to talk about this. The election is 1 week from tomorrow. I don't understand. Kim asked this question earlier. If you choose not to vote in these April elections, who are you? Why? Why would you claim that this doesn't affect you? Every school board race, you have people who are going to make decisions on potential tax increases, which are going to affect your property tax rates. All of these things are key, whether you have a kid in the district or not. The mayor's races matter. They all matter, just like they would in November in a general election. But there's usually traditionally very poor turnout for these races, and that is quite depressing, I will have to say. Please get out and vote. Encourage your neighbors to get out and vote. Let's try to crank this thing up a little bit, please. All right, Carl, let's get to our top stories real quick.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
In his call with Kristen Welker, he said, quote, "You could say I was angry, pissed off."
Yeah, NBC yesterday, Kristen Welker had a phone call with President Trump. It wasn't recorded, apparently, but he did tell her that when it comes to Vladimir Putin right now, he's a little pissed because Vladimir is not cooperating on this ceasefire he's trying to strike.
There was no specific information except that a target was going to be hit. We have terrorist organizations coming after the United States everywhere because the Biden administration has done nothing for 4 years.
Mark Wayne Mullen on there defending the whole signal controversy. I think, like me, he agrees it was unfortunate that the reporter's number got on there, but it's no reason to stop using signal.
A lot of people wonder, will we ever see President Trump's face on Mount Rushmore? What do you think?
Well, they certainly have room for it there.
That's one way to light a fire under the left. Let the Secretary of the Interior suggest that they're already framing out where Donald Trump's face might go on Mount Rushmore.
You know, I feel like they give him his talking points and he's like, yes, massa, I got it.
Who do you think that was, Kim? You want to take three guesses and the first two don't count?
I'm so bad at any sort of, like, if I hear someone's voice, I'm so bad at guessing.
She's the current face of the Democrat Party. Come on, you should know this
by now. Well, then it's Jasmine Crockett.
It's Jasmine Crockett on yesterday. Yeah, she's on yesterday with Charlemagne the God. Once again, not talking like the attorney, the very straight-laced attorney that went to MICDS and then graduated from basically an Ivy League-level law school and was working as a straight-talking lawyer in Texas somewhere before getting elected to the House down in Texas, at which point she adopted a language that sounds more like she's from the ghetto somewhere.
She changes her voice, though. A number.
It
depends
on.
It's not even just since then. I mean, there's a stark difference.
Time.
But it's like every event, she's custom. It's like Kamala. She would customize her accent depending on the crowd
she's
in front of.
Yesterday, she played the race card completely, and it's sickening to listen to. But I'm going to play it for you anyway. She's mad at Byron Donalds because he disagrees with her on politics, so she has to accuse him of being, of bending the knee to the white plantation owner and calling them massa. You heard it there a minute ago. Listen to this.
And if we continue to put people into office, and that even means some of our skin folk who definitely are not our kinfolk, such as Byron Donalds, who are going to continue to say that, like, I mean, the fact that you sitting around talking about life was better under Jim Crow. Like, is this because you don't understand history, or literally it's because you married a white woman and so you think that that whitewashed you? I'm not really sure. Yeah.
Is Byron Donalds married to a white woman? I have no idea. But apparently it sticks in the craw of Jasmine Crockett that he might be. I mean, what a blatantly racist thing for her to say.
Yes,
could
he
you
is.
Imagine? But could you imagine a white politician criticizing a Kamala Harris because she was married to a white man. I just, the whole thing is, it's just ludicrous what we've come to in this country. But you know what, Jasmine? We have ordained you the new leader of the Democrat Party, and we want you to just keep talking. In fact, maybe we'll contribute to your campaign so that you'll have enough money to keep putting your ridiculous voice out there. And with that, Democrats may never win another election. All right, let's get to a break here. My friend Jesse Jane Duff coming up. We'll get her thoughts on the president and some of his comments that he made yesterday about this situation with Russia and Ukraine. We're also going to get to Tom Ackerman. More on the Blues and the Cardinals at the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But this is what happens when you have a party that has reached... Actually, not rock bottom yet. Not rock bottom yet. But they got nothing. Zero. No issues. No leader. Fringe issues define them. So they're going to glom onto the story of the day. And quite frankly, it's embarrassing for them.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Jesse Jane Duff on the phone with us this morning. And that of course, was Eric Schmidt yesterday talking about this whole signal controversy that the Democrats just won't let go of, Jesse Jane.
I know. You know, the Democrats really don't have a winning message other than anything against President Trump. I think that's pretty clear to all Americans. That's why they're flailing. What is it? They're at like 23, 24, 25, maybe 27% approval rating. You know, it's absurd. And then you get people that want to come out and even be more flamboyant. What's the congresswoman down there in Texas? You know, she thinks that she can make comments that are just over the top, criticizing the governor of Texas. You know, they're headline calling him what, Governor Hot Wheels, thinking that, oh, no, that wasn't a disparaging remark. You know, at the end of the day, we look at what the Democrats are offering, and it's absolutely nothing other than take down Trump. You know, they fail to look at the what went on under their own administration, where you had classified documents in the, what was it, the garage of Joe Biden. We had one of the Clinton officials stuffing classified documents in his underpants, trying to sneak out of, remember that? His
I
underpants.
Do.
Oh, what was his name? My God, I can't think of it right now. He had a really funny name. And then, you know, it goes on where you had, we had Barack Obama storing classified documents in a storage locker next to Ronald McDonald's. You know, it's like, what are we doing? They are criticizing everything without any solutions to lower taxes, to make life better for Americans. And I think, you know, even the Democrats are scratching their heads going, you know, they might be upset over the signal, but you still offer no solutions.
Speaking of criticizing, Elon Musk is getting a lot of pushback for his involvement in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. What do you make of this? Because Trump has said that this is a huge race and could be pivotal as far as the makeup of the House of Representatives.
Well, when I start hearing them criticize all the influences by George Soros and how many DAs were backed by him and how much money got funneled into the Democratic machine by George Soros, I might take a step back and say, yeah, Elon Musk should not be engaged in politics. But we had Zuckerbucks that were pumping millions upon millions of dollars into the 2020 campaign that were in Democratic stronghold, making sure that the Democrats held on. They also have had George Soros influencing almost every single DA VA election where they have a blue winner. I mean, you look across the board, Elon Musk holding a raffle of sort of $1 million is a drop in the bucket to the Bill Gates, the Soros, and every other left-wing ideological oligarch in the United States that is funneled money left and right to every cause that we know. Oh, look at the USAID money. My goodness. Democrats love the money being funneled to their groups, but let one of ours rise up and they got to burn down his Tesla dealerships, blow up their cars, scratch everything because, oh no, Republicans are trying to hurt democracy.
Hey, it's Sandy Berger is the person you were trying to think of.
There we go. Thank you. I knew he had a funny name.
I wrote down Berger, and then I couldn't think of his first name, but yeah, I Googled it. It was Sandy Berger.
Sandy Berger.
he ripped out a page of top secret document in the skiff and like shoved it in his shoe or something and carried or his underwear and carried it out.
I just like that Jesse James underpants. Said underpants. Yeah.
I like underpants. I think underpants sound so cute, so grown up.
I got
his big
I gotta,
boy pants.
I got to play undies. This. I got to play this for you and get your reaction. To it. Play cut six for her, Carl, please.
A lot of people wonder, will we ever see President Trump's face on Mount Rushmore? What do you think?
Well, they certainly have room for it there. They just signed the order last week on July 3rd, 2026. We're going to have fireworks at Mount Rushmore. And we've got a lot of amazing USA 250 events planned from across the country.
Yeah, I don't think they can get it chiseled on there by next summer. But I'm telling you, Jesse Jane, that's going to set a lot of liberal hair on fire right there.
Oh, my goodness. You know what would be hysterical? If they did a paper mache one that could endure a few weather storms and lower it over that and just have it there on the 4th of July that it looks real. You know, AI can do anything, right? Let's just do that to watch them all go jump off cliffs. I mean, we could really make the country red if they just all, you know, evacuate to Ireland with Rosie O'Donnell. I think that would happen. It would be wonderful. Will it happen by July 4th? Probably not. But I have just learned not to underestimate President Trump. I mean, if you haven't learned that by now, you're not paying attention. Everything he says that he wants, he manages to get, or he manages to push people into the corner that they need to be in so that we can negotiate. He's the master negotiator. So if anybody's face could get added onto Mount Rushmore, I'm not going to say no, because then I'll be doing hold my beer in about another few years.
Yeah, I can't wait till this celebration next year, and I'm so glad he's going to be president when this celebration of America takes place by somebody who loves America. That's going to be the best
Absolutely.
Part of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anna, you know, this is going to be such a spectacular celebration of our country. I mean, many of us who were around, you know, or maybe they weren't around, but the last time, the bicentennial was a really big one, yep. I remember. And no, I wasn't born yet. That's a lie. But anyway, I lie a lot about my age, so I leave everybody a mystery there. But, you know, when we can celebrate being American again,
yep.
And stop and recognize that the American flag is the one the fabric that you should unite all of us. It should not be Republican homes hanging the American flags and the Democrats hanging the Ukrainian flag. I mean, my goodness. And that's where we are. Nobody should drive down a neighborhood and go, oh, that's a registered Republican because the American flag is out. I want my neighbors, who are all liberals, to hang the American flag, because yes. If we can unite on one thing as Americans, it should be that flag. And God bless America. We are going to celebrate like none other. And I'm sure you're going to celebrate with me on this show.
We're out of time. Sorry about that.
That's quite okay. Take the hill, motivators. It's going to be a great week, especially if he gets on Mount Rushmore by Friday.
The great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
Tom Ackerman, what are we talking about first, the Blues or the Cardinals? Because they're both on a streak.
Come on now. We're talking Cardinals first. Okay. Cardinals get the headline on this one because they completed the sweep on Sunday, and the Blues did theirs on Saturday. The Blues win was the best of the year, but I'll get to them in just a minute. This incredible Cardinals start, and I mean incredible. I mean, there's not a soul, not one person, who can tell me with a straight face that they saw this coming. And the Cardinals, except for the Cardinals players and manager Ollie Marmol himself, because they've been saying it all spring training, that they have a team that's hungry. They have a team that will provide energy. They have a team that feels like they've turned the corner on their approach at the plate. And they felt pretty confident in their rotation as well, but it was mostly on the offense. And they were 100% right. The Cardinals looked great. That was not a fluke. Cardinals actually looked great up and down the order. There, you could point to every single person on that 26-man roster and say they contributed to that sweep in some way, shape, or form. Pretty much everybody. There's still some people who have yet to see action. But for the most part, that was just a complete beating of the Twins. I mean, they won opening day 5-3 in a game that got a little tight. They won the second game 5-1. Both games, they had 5 runs on 10 hits. And then in the second game, they looked great pitching-wise, even better than the first one. And then yesterday, they came out and they smacked the Twins right away. They had 8 runs by the third inning. And then the rain delay, and then they came back and won the game 9-2. Nolan Gorman hit a home run yesterday. Pedro Pajes hit a home run yesterday. Those guys didn't play the first 2 games. So they come out and hit a home runs. Lars Nootbaar looks fantastic at the top of the order. Nolan Arenado is hitting .455 right now. You know, they just up and down the roster, offense, defense, pitching, the Cardinals had an excellent start to the season. Now they play the Angels, and of course we all know this is a long baseball season. You got to do it consistently throughout. But so far, so good. I mean, that was a very impressive performance by the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, they got to get some butts in the seats. That could help.
It's been unfortunate weather, I will say that, for at least 2 of the games.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, rain, and they just, you know, they powered through it. I mean, the opening day, they had a long rain delay. The Clydesdales went at 2:30, and then it rained, and then they came back. That place was packed, by the way. Anybody who said they weren't going to fill opening day was wrong. That place was sold out, packed, almost 50,000 people. Now, there were empty seats Saturday, Sunday. Mm-hmm. I think that's to be expected. First weekend of the season, it's always like that. There's always a drop-off after opening day. There's always a drop-off in April because the kids aren't in school, but also because people kind of, like, you know, are slow to warm up to how good this team's going to be. They look pretty good to me. Now, the weather yesterday delayed things for a little bit, so Pallante ended up going 5 innings. Steven Matz goes 4 innings yesterday. That's exactly what they tried to get him to do, be the long man in relief. He goes out, pitches 4 innings to close the game out. That's called a save. You actually get a save no matter how big you're up. If you pitch 3+ innings to close out a game when you're winning, that's a save. And Matz gets the save yesterday. Just really impressed by the Cardinals, how they went about it. Victor Scott the second, tons of energy, 3 stolen bases and a home run. The last person to do that was a guy named Lou Brock to start the season. He had 3 stolen bases and a home run in his first series back in 66. So this has been a fun little run here for the Cardinals early, and it's impressive.
No kidding. Well, now we have to talk Blues because, wow.
9 in a row.
And by the way, I have tons of time here. I have no restrictions.
Okay,
Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. the Blues. I haven't seen anything like it since 2019, and this team, what they did to Colorado, just kind of blew my mind. Actually, Colorado is great. They're, you know, right now the 4th-ranked team in the West. They had won 11 in a row at home. They had allowed only 2 goals a game since late February. They have that ferocious offense with tons of speed. At the end of the game, they're 6-on-5. I'm like, man, they should just play 6-on-5 the whole game. I mean, they pulled their goaltender and went 6-on-5, and the Blues couldn't get the puck from them. Nope. But they just defensively locked down and did their job, both forwards and defensemen. Jordan Binnington was amazing. He's in Stanley Cup mode right now. Mm-hmm. But the Blues are getting contributions from everybody. I mean, let's start with their defense. Colton Parayko has been hurt. Justin Faulks gave them a great effort, especially on the power play. He has been a leader on this team. Cam Fowler was a brilliant addition by Doug Armstrong right before Christmas because he's provided them some veteran leadership, not to mention Ryan Suter was a nice acquisition in the offseason, too. Remember, this is all after Torrey Krug was hurt, too. And then, of course, Philip Broberg. This Philip Broberg-Dylan Holloway combo from Edmonton is just beyond belief. Not even the Blues would tell you that they expected this. I mean, they knew they were good young players, and not like this. And then Robert Thomas is playing like an all-star. Jordan Kyrou's not only scoring, but he's hitting people. I mean, you just name them. Pavel Buchnevich, Jake Neighbors, Zach Bolduc. I mean, everybody, and now these young players like Dvorsky and Snuggerud are going to join them. I'm telling you, I would not want to see the Blues in my bracket. I mean, they look like it's they're good. Unbeatable. And, you know, they play their best hockey in the third period. Like they just get better as the game goes on. And in the third period, if they have a lead on you, good luck.
Wasn't it last week when it was they were down 2-0 and they came back
in Nashville
in 22 seconds to beat the Predators? What was it, 3-2, the final score?
Yeah, I mean,
that's nuts.
In this streak, they've rarely trailed. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing, is they've outscored, in this nine-game winning streak, they've outscored the opponent 39-13. I mean, think about that just for a minute.
Yeah.
They have dominated. Now, you know, they play Detroit tomorrow at home. And the thing about them is, this is Jim Montgomery's doing completely. When they had the Four Nations face-off, that break for everybody except for Benner and Parayko, they did this, like, mini training camp when the players got back into town. And Montgomery basically told him, this is the way we're going to play. You're either in or you're out, and this is how I want it.
Right.
And they got after it, and they got into a rhythm of discipline and how they're going to play what he calls a hard offensive game. And they started playing this exciting brand of hockey. And when it works, it is fun. And now the guys, he said, you know, you can just see it.
They're embracing it.
When they get out on the ice, they're ready. And they believe they're going to win the game. They beat a great Colorado team. I would go so far as to say that was their win of the year. Now they've won 9 in a row. They're clear of Vancouver and Calgary for that second wildcard spot. They're tied with Minnesota for the top one. And they could be in the playoffs at any moment here if they keep pushing this way.
Did you watch any basketball this weekend?
I did.
Did you? I did.
Who are going to be in the Final Four.
After Friday.
Don't let
after
him Friday, flee. He's depressed because Kentucky's out.
Honestly, if Indiana was in that situation and lost, I probably would back off for a little while. That's too much for me.
Yes, it was a lot.
That's hard.
But did you pick all four number ones to make it?
Oh, no.
Nobody
John's.
Does, right?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. No, you had St. John's.
I'm sure some people did, but that's no fun. Nobody wants to pick all ones. And welcome to the NIL world, huh?
Yeah.
But the ones are great. I mean, Auburn is the number one overall. I had Auburn in, so I had one. Florida, I did not believe in them, but they proved me wrong. They look amazing. I want the ball in Clayton's hands for sure, more than anybody in this country with the game on the line. What he did against Texas Tech with those two threes late was incredible for Florida. So you got Auburn against Florida, so you're guaranteed one SEC team will be in the national championship. The other one's going to be interesting now. Duke is probably the favorite. Everybody thinks that Duke is great, and
that's
they are.
That's who I have winning.
They smashed Alabama, holding them to 65 is ridiculous. Ridiculous. And Duke is filled with all these NBA lottery picks, and they're just super talented and disciplined. They play great defense. This Houston team is scary good defensively.
They are.
And they will shut you down. They held Tennessee to, 50 points? That's amazing. And Kelvin Sampson's been around, and Houston doesn't have to go very far. They just have to drive over to San Antonio for the game.
That's right.
So I think, you know, if I were looking at this thing, I'd say don't discount Houston necessarily. But
I picked Houston to win it all. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Duke's the favorite. Yeah, it's going to be a good Final Four. I'm not, you know, those are four great teams. You know, so let them get after it and do battle.
I would agree. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate
it, Tom.
Absolutely. A quick break. We're going to be back here in just a minute. Stay tuned. Welcome back. You know, wow. Talk about sending a chill down your spine. The turnout of St. Louis police officers as their fellow officer, Nathan Spiech, was released from the hospital and escorted back home where he's going to continue to recover, or maybe he's getting some rehab right now after that horrible accident up on I-70. We know there are a couple of people charged in that case right now. I said at the time that we would do anything we could to try to support the officer through all this. I know the folks at Backstoppers, I've been told, have stepped in to help out the family, but there's also a sports trivia night that's being planned coming up in June, and I've asked Brian Hayes, who is a co-worker and a good friend of Nathan's, to come on and join us this morning. Brian, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. So, how's Nathan doing?
Better than anybody can expect, I will say.
Good.
Well, you know, I'm sure that nobody is prepared for what he's going through right now. And I loved watching that video the other day of everybody coming out there and helping him and escorting him as he left the hospital. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was touching.
Yes, indeed. So tell me a little bit more about what you've helped put together here. I know you're the primary contact for this sports trivia night, but I'm sure there are a lot of people involved.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot. And I also teamed up with two organizations, Karen Cares for Those Who Serve with Karen Green, the founder.
Okay.
And then the St. Louis Police Officers Memorial Fund.
Okay.
And we have a detective, Eric Vanita, that runs that, does a great job. So they help. And they're helping do a lot of back behind the scenes items, ticket sales and tables and auction items, stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there's still, if anybody, because this is coming up June 14th, so we got a little bit of time here. You can still sponsor rounds in this. And again, the money is being raised for Officer Nathan Spies. It's going to include beer and soft drinks, but I mean, you can get a table of 10 for what, $300? Is that correct?
$300 is going to be at SLU High School, which is located at 4970 Oakland Avenue. The doors open up at 5 p.m. The event starts at 6 p.m. And I'm the primary contact for that. We also have a flyer going around that you can scan or hold down the QR code.
Yeah. I've got that up on my Facebook page, so if anybody listening to this program wants to go to the Mark Cox Show on Facebook, you can find, just go down the page a little bit. I'll repost it this morning, but it's the Sports Trivia Night. It's got that code on there that you can scan with your phone and find out all the details to buy tickets or maybe a sponsorship. Are you still looking for donations at this point in terms of maybe auction items, things like that?
Yes, we are.
So anything people can help out with, again, it's coming up June 14th at St. Louis U High School. They're on Oakland Avenue, and it's all to benefit Officer Spies. So, Brian, anything we can do from our perspective here on this show, you just let us know, my friend.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you reaching out very much. Thank you.
Absolutely. Hey, take care of yourself and give our best to Officer Spies, please.
Yes, sir.
All right, you take care of yourself. Brian Hayes on there, he reluctantly agreed to come on and do the interview. He said, I've not been on the radio, I don't know if I can do this. I'm like, it'll be easy. All we want to do is help. So again, I've posted this up on my Facebook page, and you got plenty of time, plenty of warning. If you got something you could donate, maybe this is the time to reach out to Officer Hayes and help out with this.
It looks like on the GoFundMe page, so it's close to $140,000.
Oh,
someone
great.
Anonymous donated $300. Another person, or maybe an organization, $2,500.
Wow,
that's really cool. His twin brother, I guess, is the one who started that.
The
page.
GoFundMe page, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know I don't know all the details, but I know Backstoppers has stepped in because it was a traumatic injury that happened to Officer Spies, and it's obviously going to impact his career. So, great thoughts for him this morning as we wrap up the show. The Brian Kilmeade Show is going to be up next here in just a couple of minutes. Just a reminder: several people have mentioned this on the Facebook page this morning. The voting guide is up there. If you just go to 971talk.com, it's literally the first thing on the page that you'll see. It's easy to find. You can click on it. You can print it. We try to make it easy. It's a PDF, so we made that easy for you. Hang around. We'll get to Annie Fry and Mark Reardon a little later on your Monday morning on this last day of March. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.